Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 125. Going to get you ready for the week four fab coming at you this weekend with your schedules, your two-star pitchers, and much, much more. Get you caught up with some recent news and probably some more Masters dialogue or something fun because it's a good time of the year. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
I'm great, man. Yeah, the Masters dialogue, we're bringing that to the forefront because that was what was on my mind today. It was, folks that know, I was there last year, and watching it, once you've been there, is really freaking cool. So yes, a light day on the baseball. I think there were only like, what, four games today? Because there were a couple of rainouts.
And there's five games.
So a good light day for baseball. So I will admit I had both eyes, maybe one eye on the Masters, one eye on my day job, and if I had a third eye, be on baseball. But I don't. So
yeah, I didn't miss too much. You saw your boy Lawson's baseball. Alan Lawson's.
Yes. Lived up to his name. Did not even have the worst pitching line of the day, though.
No,
that was Hunter Brown. Good God.
Yeah, that was the talk of the town, Hunter Brown, today. And we have a listener question on that, so we'll definitely get to him. Or it might have been a question to me, but we'll bring it up on the listener question part.
Sure. About
holding, dropping, what are we doing with Hunter Brown? Because there are some interesting questions there. Yeah, Winans already got sent back to AAA.
Did he?
So it opens the door again. Is it AJ Smith-Shawver? Is it Dylan Dodd? Is it Bryce Elder? Stay tuned.
So we can basically go back to the exact same conversation we had last week about cycling, going down this rabbit hole of trying to find six starters for your injured starting pitchers.
And this is what the Braves did last year when they needed pitchers. These like three or four guys just kept getting cycled through there.
They didn't, and none of them really did much.
No. Most of them got blown up. And then they just said, okay, you go back to your play. We'll try the next guy. And they just kept doing it over and over. Bryce Elder kind of had a moment, but he was like such a pitch to contacty guy. You're waiting for the blow up, and it finally happened. So we'll see how that plays out. But we'll get to you a couple pieces of news here. Lars Nootbaar, finally. I feel like on the First Pitch podcast, I've been saying it almost every day that Nootbaar's back, and then he doesn't come back. He is activated. He got activated from the IL. Nootbaar will rejoin the Cardinals on Friday. Pages, the third catcher that they called up because Wilson Contreras had his issue. He went back to AAA, so Nootbaar's there. Victor Scott lives to see another day. I'd imagine Nootbaar slides right back into center field, which makes it really interesting to see what happens to Victor Scott.
Yeah, that's the squeeze because Lars Nootbaar is or should be their center fielder. I mean, last year Nootbaar played 73 games there, and Victor Scott, we're starting to get to that point where like, how long can we keep this going? The average is 0.91, the OBP, and even just, I know the glove is good, whatever, but like, the OBP is 163. The slugging is lower than OBP, which is great. So you wonder how long that can go. Lars Nootbaar, I think, plays every day. Something's got to give. I think it's got to be Victor Scott at some point because it's bad.
Yeah, I thought he'd go down eventually. When they called up Pages the other day, it's like, okay, that kind of makes sense. They don't need three catchers. That means Wilson's hands a little better to at least play backup catcher for now. But, it'd be something to watch because that Cardinals offense is bad right now. We'll get to that when we talk schedules. It is not good. So Victor Scott can't keep dragging him down for too much longer, one would think. Chase Silseth, elbow inflammation. Similar to Josiah Gray, though, positive edge of elbow inflammation. No structural damage, all that kind of stuff. We'll see what it plays out. He's going to be shut down. The typical elbow inflammation stuff. Framber Valdez is supposed to play catch this weekend, so maybe his is. Maybe it's something along that world where it's going to be a 3 week thing, 3 to 4 weeks. We'll see. But Silseth goes to the IL. They called up Carson Fulmer. That doesn't do anything for me.
That's a name.
Blast from the past. Yes. Yep. So there's really nothing you can do here. I guess the question is, and we don't have a timeline, which makes it tough. Like in 12s, I'm dropping Silseth.
Yeah,
it's tough.
That's what I'm on because I do have a lot of Silseth, and we'll see. I haven't looked at Fab. I typically don't look at Fab until after we do our show. Just work smarter, not harder. But I feel like I'm going to lean to keep Silseth in 15 teamers. But we'll see what the rosters look like. It's certainly a reasonable cut if you are holding other injured guys and that sort of thing in 15s. And I think in 12s, absolutely. Because Silseth, I mean, looked okay in his last start, which makes the injury even weirder. I know he gave up 3 home runs in 1 inning to the Red Sox in his last start, but outside of that, he was okay. So I don't know. Jose Soriano pitch.
Yep.
Started, I think, a game for the Angels. That's not an option either. So.
It could be though. I'll put a little bit onto that. He was a reliever. Got stretched out to 60 pitches, so they're stretching him out. So take a lot of that with a grain of salt. You have to go back, go search Mike Kirlin's Twitter if you want to see some rambling. But he broke down like the pitch usage, pitch mix, and everything. Like the result wasn't great, but what the pitches he used and the success that some of them had, it was promising type situation. So there could be an angle there. I'm still like not running to go add him on the waiver wire, but it could be an option if you're desperate in a deeper format. So, and he's got a two-step this week. Not probably the best. I'd have to go look at it when we talk about two-step pitchers, because I just went right past it because it's Soriano. But
at Tampa, at Cincinnati.
Yeah, the Great American Small Park's what turned me off on that one right out the gate. So, yeah, maybe see how these two starts go, and maybe they get them stretched out to closer to the 90 pitches, and that's an option to get real cheap the following week. Something to think about. Brent Rooker. All right, let me get this appropriately on here, because
vocabulary lesson, spelling lesson here.
I had to Google this earlier for one of my articles I have to write every day.
Before it was Bubba's Bible lessons, and now it's anatomy. So
This one's tough. Brent Rooker was placed on the 10-day IL retroactive to April 8th with a costochondral cartilage injury. Okay, so I Googled it. A costochondral cartilage injury, say that 5 times fast, is damage to the cartilage between the ribs and the sternum. So basically what connects the ribs to the sternum, and usually has rib fractures involved in it. We don't know much more than what the A's told us, but if it's anything cartilage related, you basically have to become a couch potato to let that thing heal. You can't do anything physical. You're not lifting things. You're not running. You're not swinging. You're literally maybe driving to the ballpark, hanging out, sitting on the bench, going back to the house. Like, that's pretty much your game plan. So, yeah, it might be a little bit in my mind for Rooker.
Agreed. And I'm just trying to see if, like, and so I think if it is a little bit, and it sounds like it will be, I think Rooker's a drop. He was already kind of fringe and 15 teamers. Looking at corner outfielders for the A's, because again, like, motto of the show, guys on bad teams that play every day are interesting, but they just platoon. They platoon. It's Seth Brown in left, and it's Lawrence Butler in right. But both of those guys look like platoon bats. Butler did start against a lefty, hit 9th on Wednesday, and there's some speed upside there. And Seth Brown, actually, at least a couple years ago, he was pretty attractive from a power and a little bit of speed standpoint. So maybe in right-hand heavy weeks, I haven't looked at the Oakland schedule yet for next week. I do have it up. No, it's 3-3 next week. So I would not be toiling in the Oakland platoon pool for Fab this week.
And they called up Max Schumann, prospect, not on the 40-man, so there'll be a corresponding move that takes place in that one. Schumann played 103 games at AAA last year, 9 homers, 20 steals, hit .277. So maybe something there. We'll see as time goes on. Yeah. All right. Good news, not injury-related news. Cody Bradford, he got that start against Oakland because Michael Lorenzen needed another rehab start. Cody Bradford was filthy yet again, so that's 3 really good starts to the season. And on Thursday, manager Bruce Bochy said Cody Bradford will be staying in the Rangers rotation. So then it comes down to Dane Dunning, Andrew Heaney, probably being one of those two guys. I lean Heaney, because even last year he went to the bullpen as a long reliever at the end of the season. Time will tell, because Lorenzen should be back next week for a potential two-step. But Bradford's sticking around, which is big news for people that spent money this past week.
It is. And I wonder if why does Lorenzen automatically have a rotation spot when he comes back? Like,
that's fair. That's a fair question.
That's kind of the assumption, but like, I don't know. Jared Lorenzen isn't anything special.
He Michael Lorenzen. Jared Lorenzen. Rest in peace. Jeez. Great Kentucky quarterback.
Big blue. Yes. Apologies. Michael Lorenzen. God. hasn't had a sub four ERA since 2019. So like and the skills are very suspect. So I don't even know if Michael Lorenzen is like, again, he falls into those late starters that could do more damage than good. It is nice to see, and I'll get the right Bradford. I keep wanting to say Chad Bradford, but we'll say Cody Bradford. Well deserved, and the skills look fantastic. And ride him while we have him probably rostered in most formats. So
yeah, he's out there in most leagues. Like I was doing stuff earlier in NFBC, OCs. He's only 68% rostered, so 32% of leagues will be adding him this week. I'm just gonna put that out there right now.
Well, that was part of the deal, was like, because we talked about Bradford, as you know, in our Fab preview last week, and we both liked him, but it was like, is it a permanent thing, or is it just this one start against Oakland was his last start, and now we know the answer.
Yep, we have some clearance on that one. Brandon Lau, oblique injury, going to be on the IL for a little bit here. No moves been made just yet for the Tampa Bay Rays, but you'd imagine it's Curtis Meade, Amed Rosario, that kind of story. Lau and Meade were kind of already platooning as it was. So do they bring up a lefty to get in there? I don't know. But for now, I'd imagine Curtis Meade and Rosario get the bigger boost in that one.
Yeah, and we were talking last week about who might hit second. Every day since Lau has been out, it has been Curtis Meade at second base. So I agree with you there. The number two hitter has been like Harold Ramirez against lefties. And actually, I mean, before you throw up in your mouth, you already just did. The Rays do get four lefties next week. So Harold Ramirez in deep leagues, I think, is at least an option. I think he's UT only, though, at this point.
Yeah, he's UT only. That's your fun part there, too.
Brandon Lau, I think, unless you have IL slots, is a drop. It's just that guy, man. So many injuries.
Yep. We preach this, I think, every preview season with Brandon Lau. And we don't root for injuries, but when you do it over and over again, it's like the Chicago White Sox. Yoan Moncada out 3 to 6 months with his adductor injury. I'd probably lean towards the longer side of this one, but you never know. Lenin Sosa, remember that name? He should get most of the run at third base. There might be a few other options. Lenin had a couple weeks where I'm like, oh, wow, he's got power. This is awesome. Then he faded into the sunset again. Well, there might not be anybody to stop him from playing regularly for the time being. So that would be the guy if you're really, really bored and need someone to play third base. That would be my target,
I guess. I'm curious to see if Gavin Sheets starts playing against lefties.
I think he will. And plus, the White Sox have like six righties next week. So Gavin Sheets will be discussed later in this show.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Went deep off of Bybee. Yeah, he's actually looked pretty good. Alex in the chat says, how about Gavin Sheets? He looks hot. Can't confirm that last part.
I'm going to say, speak for yourself.
I do wonder if Gavin Sheets starts playing against lefties, because that's interesting. We talked about the White Sox last week, just like super streamable. However, thoughts and prayers to Logan Allen and Tanner Bibee. I know we have a listener question later about Bibee. They both got lit up against this White Sox offense. I'm curious, and Bubba, you had a tweet out today about this. What's the deal with Oscar Colas, who I think has appeal in fantasy, but what are they doing? He got called up and then sent back down after
got called up for one game. Called up for one game, pinch hit, went back to AAA. He was the first guy called up for the Moncada deal, and it's the White Sox are a joke, because my whole thing is Colas, he hasn't proved himself in the bigs. He's been okay in the minors, but there's the pedigree. There's like excitement. There's a lot of things. And like, what do the White Sox have to lose this year to see if he's actually got it or not? Like, I'd run him out there, figure it out. If he doesn't have it, you move on, instead of going back and forth and pulling an Edward Olivares on the kid. So, yeah, it's insane.
Wouldn't wish the Olivares treatment on anybody.
Yeah, it's pretty bad stuff there. Last piece of news here, and we'll talk about this man more in the two-step part of the show, but Edward Cabrera completed his third rehab start, 5 2/3 shutout innings with 9 strikeouts. Looked outstanding. He's looked pretty decent as all three rehab starts. He's expected to rejoin the Marlins to start the week. I believe the pitch is Tuesday and Sunday. They play 7 games next week. So he gets the Giants in game 1, which is always nice. But we'll get into Edward Cabrera when we start talking to start pitchers. But just for fun, Edward Cabrera is 60% rostered in OCs. So you got 40%. Of your leagues might have him available.
And he is on one of the CBS, I don't don't want to speak out. Yes, he's on the CBS Rogers, so we'll definitely cover Cabrera. I mean, I'm interested.
I'm very interested.
I'm interested in him. I'm also interested. So Braxton Garrett's coming back. What do you think happens with the Marlins rotation? Is it Weathers and Puck that go?
A lot of people are saying that's the two. I think you put Puck back in the bullpen because their bullpen's already horrific right now. Put Puck back in a one-inning role. Maybe things will be better there. I know the starting role was not great. No. But put him back in the bullpen and hopefully shores that up. And then Weathers looks like the odd man out right now because Meyer's pitching good and they want to keep that prospect up there. That's the assumption I am under. We'll see. But yeah.
That's what I think. I mean, Puck is walking everybody. Weathers can't throw strikes either. He's not missing bats.
Weathers is avoiding blowups, but yeah, he's not striking guys out. He's literally like three pitches away from probably giving up 10 runs.
No, I'm just looking at Weathers. That's a good point. Weathers has a 2.57 ERA, a 4.92 Sierra, which is my favorite ERA estimator. It's more skills based. A 1.50 WHIP. It's really hard to have a 2.50 ERA and a 1.50 WHIP.
Yep. So what's his left on base rate if you have the page up right now? Because that'll probably tell you a lot.
80%, which is huge, and 7% homer to fly. So it just fly balls are not leaving the yard. That will correct as well. So, I feel like Weathers and probably Puck are probably, unless they go six man, but
which they could. You never know. But like you look at the RotoWire projected rotation for next week, Weathers is the first man out, which I could see. Okay. I can see that. Like, you know, Puck's one of those they've worked so hard on. Like, you want to try to give him as many shots as possible. But Braxton Garrett's supposed to be in a rehab start, I believe, Friday. I don't think he pitched on Thursday. It's supposed to be Friday. And if all goes well, like Ryan said, we could get a Braxton Garrett next week or one more start. It's kind of an up in the air because he's just slightly behind Cabrera in getting there. But Garrett's very close as well.
Cool.
All right. It's Fab preview time, Bloomfield. Week 4, Fab preview. What are we looking at? As I get the banner off the page, you can explain some things.
That pro production. Couple updates to the schedule tool calculator, whatever the hell we're calling this thing. I did flip over the stats from 2023 to 2024. I know we're only 2 weeks into the season, but we will get with the times and go to 24. So the team, and again, anyone watching on YouTube and on our live stream can see this as we're going, but we'll try and make it as podcast friendly as we can throughout. The team WRC plus, which is a kind of basically just a general, like how good are you at offense? And I like WRC plus because 100 is average. We have flipped that over to 2024. So I think as we talk through some of these teams, some of the surprises, we'll touch on that. And then the opposing starting pitchers, we flipped their strikeout minus walk rate to 2024 numbers as well. So the scheduling tools now with the times and fewer TBDs, did a little manual massaging of a couple things on the tool this afternoon to get it ready for everyone. But
phrasing.
But it's ready to go.
All right. We'll do this listener question first before we really get popping here. Francisco says, someone dropped Campusano on a mixed 15-team Roto League. I have Wells and Herrera. How much would you spend on Luis? $1,000 budget. I'd probably spend $12-13. Drop Wells.
I'd go higher. I'd probably go 40-50 on Campusano.
Yeah.
Probably drop. Agreed. Drop Wells. We've discussed Herrera. You've been a big Herrera guy for months. Again, don't know what the playing time will be long term, but that guy can hit, man. So keep Herrera, drop Wells.
I saw tweets about his day. I almost wrote about it last night because I had a random, like almost full off. All I had was first pitch pod yesterday. It was glorious. And so I was like perusing Baseball Savant. And if you look at, I know again, small sample, but if you look at barrel rates, just barrels in general, you look at so many of these stats, he is just like 97th percentile, 93rd percentile. Like it's ridiculous for Yvonne Herrera, but. Not everybody needs to hear about my love for him.
It runs deep. Trust me.
It does. I've been waiting for this. I thought this would happen like in May or June, but it's happening in April. It's amazing. All right. Let's talk schedules. Again, this is probably the larger portion of our Fab discussion because it's kind of an open discussion when we look at it. We'll go team by team here. We'll start with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They got 7 games next week. I think it's like 10 to 12 teams have seven games. I could be just speaking out of my rear end.
Something like that. Yeah, no teams at five. So another busy week, which is awesome. Yep.
Bingo. So Arizona's got seven games, Chicago, and then at the Giants. And it sets up really annoyingly, though, because they get four righties and three lefties. So it could be difficult to stream this week.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, similar to what we saw last week. The Diamondbacks do have a couple strong side platooners that can be deployed in the right spot in Jock Peterson and Jake McCarthy if you need power or speed, respectively. But it's just hard to run that out when you've got three or four, when it's this even of a split. I'd love to see the Arizona all righty week at some point happen. They have faced a ton of lefties lately. I think, yeah, four of their last five games have been against lefties, and Jock Peterson and McCarthy have not played in either of those. Blaze Alexander is playing against lefties and against right-handers. So yep. I think we roll with them. He's been hot.
Yeah, he's been hot. The Blaze thing I like. I'm hoping the righty thing sticks because it was really frustrating to start the week. I think he sat versus the first righty, and then it was like a revolving door where he kept playing, but it was a DH. Then he played the infield as Marte. Like, it was just the whole thing. It worked. He played. It's all that matters. But let's just hope it sticks is what I'm trying to say in that regard.
You do have on the other side of that platoon, I think Randall Grichuk is mildly interesting. I would not recommend starting him for a full week because it is only those three lefties that Arizona faces. But in daily leagues or whatever, Randall Grichuk against lefties is
the one caveat to all throw back, and this is not a homer in me, though, but out of the five Giants you get to face, you get the four toughest in Webb, Snell, Harrison, and Hicks. I'm like, yeah. You couldn't throw Keaton. And Keaton Wynn's actually decent if you look at stuff plus and you believe in that metric, but you'd want his face win is what I'm trying to say out of the whole group.
Agreed.
All right. Atlanta Braves, the best offense in baseball. Again, they get a fun week. It's at Houston, home against Texas, five righties on the docket here. None of the pitchers really scare me outside of maybe Eovaldi and then Bradford, if you still trust him. I think it's like, we just talked about Bradford. I'm sitting him next week.
I know, dude, that's the exact same thing I was just thinking. Talk about going from the Oakland matchup to the Braves. For as good as Bradford has been, that's a tough. So we did. So like I said, I updated the WRC plus to 2024. The Braves lineup has been even better than it was last year. And that's without really anything from Ronald Acuna and not much from Matt Olson. The Braves have the top WRC plus 139 of any team in baseball. Again, 100 is league average. So they're 40% better than the average lineup right now. Bradford, I agree, is a tough start against Atlanta. Anyone is.
Yeah. And there's obviously when it comes to Atlanta, unless you have like Jared Kelnick out there or something, not a whole lot of guys to add up for the week. So it's not a Duval week. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
Baltimore Orioles, they have a fun week now. You got Minnesota, you got at the Royals, five right-handed pitchers. I think there's this guy named after an animal, kind of, that hit two home runs on Thursday night. Might be popular this week.
Named after an animal?
Cowser. What are you talking about? Cowser. You have children, Ryan. Come on.
That's bad. God. Colton Cowser,
they agree. Come on, our boy Brendan Tuma was literally just tweeting out cow emojis earlier.
I didn't see. I'm trying to, like I said, I was focusing on the Masters today. I was not looking at cow emojis or thinking that Colton Cowser was named after a cow. But I do admit, we had a listener question last week, who was our toughest drop of the season? I said Colton Cowser. I did drop him in a couple of 15s last week, and I'm already regretting that because he is playing every day against right-handers. Ryan O'Hearn is also interesting, and yes, to get those five is pretty nice for Baltimore, even though it is, you know, it's against Pablo Lopez, it's against Joe Ryan, a couple tough righties in there, but you still want to get those Baltimore lefties in there.
Yeah, Cowser is only 27% rostered in OCs, so that's fun. And I like the Ryan O'Hearn shout, too. That's a good one as well. Boston Red Sox, they get seven games this week. Cleveland and then at Pittsburgh for three, so four at home against Cleveland, three at Pittsburgh. And that Cleveland rotation, like you said, we got listener questions later, but like Allen's been hit and miss, Bybee's hit and miss, Carrasco, McKenzie's been hit and miss. This could be a very potent week for Boston.
Agreed, but it's that similar kind of even split between lefty righties, and Boston basically has Emmanuel Valdez, Reese McGuire, and David Hamilton as platooners, with Connor Wong, Romy Gonzalez, Pablo Reyes. So there's
Romy Gonzalez has a wrist injury and his day-to-day x-rays were negative. So hopefully that gives David Hamilton some run. We'll see.
Yeah. And Hamilton, I mean, we didn't really talk about him last week, but very interesting fab spec. He is on the CBS list that we'll get
to. We will definitely talk about him. He is of interest to me. When they called up Romy Gonzalez, that disappointed me. But Hamilton is quite intriguing, to say the least. Chicago Cubs, the Fightin' Sayas, they have another fun one on tap this week. Seven games. They get to play three at the D-backs and then four at home against the Miami Marlins. Who knows what that rotation looks like when we see them at the end of the week. But it's a fun week. Decent pitchers, but I don't know. It's an interesting Cubs week.
Yeah, we don't know what that Miami at the end of that with Puck and Weathers, as we just talked about. So not totally sure. Thing is with the Cubs, like, I feel like everyone is almost rostered. Like Miguel Amaya could be a good week for him. I know he's
I added him last week and dropped Yan Gomes. He's taking over playing time there.
Michael Bush has looked really good early on. I know we've talked about him a little bit as well. So those are possible pickups. I think even in 12 teamers that could be good. And again, you want to target those seven game weeks, just over time, that extra game per week that matters a ton.
Yeah. Bush is a good one. They faced a lot of righties this week, so you got some love there. A little tougher, like you said, this next week, but someone to just keep on your radar. We'll probably bring him up multiple times this year based on matchups. The White Sox, this is one of our first, I think, you know, you've said it earlier, we say it many times, bad teams will have good fantasy options. Here it is. White Sox play six games. Royals avoiding one, Cole Reagans, at Philadelphia. You get six righties. We already hinted at Gavin Sheets. That seems to be one of the big potential pickups for the week.
Yeah, I think Gavin Sheets is a target. I think we're officially backing Gavin Sheets as a stream this week because it is all right-handers. I don't know. There's Zach Wheeler, Turnbull, Nola. Like, that's not the easiest end of the week. Your boy, Cy Singer.
That's right.
Brady Singer, the second up there. That's right. I'm surprised I haven't heard that. You know, that rubbed that one in my face yet. But Brady Singer has looked pretty good, I will admit. First few starts. So,
like, there's certain things I'll rub, like pitchers and hitters I will rub in your face, but Brady Singer needs to do more than three outings to get me to start waving the flag.
We'll agree, because that flag might come back at you.
I'm very aware of what he can do to damage things, yes. All right, let's go to Cincinnati Reds now. They got six games this week. They kick it off with what is that? It's L.A. Miller? Oh, it's three at Seattle, three at home against the Angels. Okay, I was like confused for a second. 3-3. The end of the week looks very good.
Yes. Although, I mean, Tyler Anderson's look decent. We will talk about him. He's another CBS riser.
We will talk about him.
I think a decent pickup. You sound suspicious.
I picked him up last week. Okay. Not going to throw him in Great American Small Park.
Yeah, it's good. It's probably a good thing. The skills look really good for Tyler Anderson, but again, it's been two or three starts. I don't know what to think. Is George Kirby instill fear in you right now? Logan Gilbert did look good his most recent start, but Seattle in general, I have been kind of besmirching their offense lately, but the rotation hasn't been that great either outside of, Gilbert's pitched decently, but it's been tough.
Yeah, it's just potentially for that weekend in Great American, you're going to get three left-handed pitchers. Or two out of the three we lefties. So if like you're in a deep format, Stuart Fairchild will play two out of three. Like he's not great, but he's definitely a stream option for the back end of the week in Great American. That would be the main one I would look at right now.
Santiago Espinal. I don't even know if he's good enough in deep leagues though.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot. Yeah, bats are there like you're saying, but I think Fairchild would be the one I'd be looking at. It doesn't make you all. It's only deep formats. 12s, I wouldn't really go there.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, next one on the dock here, the Cleveland Guardians somehow have one of the best offenses in baseball. They don't strike out a lot. They're a pesky little bunch, those guys. And if you guys missed it on Wednesday, it was sibling day, and the brother Naylors both went to Ding Dong City. It was glorious. Seven games on the week for the Guardians. They get three at Boston and then four at home against the wonderful Oakland Athletics. So have fun, boys.
Yeah. I think, like, again, just to throw out some names, I think Will Brennan's an interesting stream.
I like that.
Doesn't whiff a ton. 18% strikeout rate so far. Again, just 39 plate appearances. Not a lot of power, but I think Will Brennan swipes 2-3 bags this week. I don't think that's a hot take. I think he's going to play probably all those six games against righties. And, like, yes, the Boston rotation has looked pretty good so far, but that back half against Oakland is going to be awesome. So, and I don't even know if that Criswell dude pitches. I think he pitched today and got nuked.
Yeah.
So who knows? But I mean, like, his replacement isn't going to be any better. So I like Will Brennan as kind of a rental for this year or for this week.
I like that. That's a really strong one, in my opinion. I agree completely. Colorado Rockies, they got six games on the schedule, 3 at Philadelphia, 3 at home against Seattle. Hancock, who you can just nuke to the sun. Castillo struggled. Kirby struggled. Still, it's like, it's the Rockies, man.
Yeah, and we see with the 82 WRC plus, which is among the handful of worst teams in baseball, it hasn't been great. I don't know, like, that's a tough start to the week at Philadelphia. Any kind of road Rocky is tough. And then I don't know. Yes, Hancock, but I still think Castillo and Kirby are good. I'm not panicking with either of those two guys. So yeah. I don't think you're starting many Rockies this week. Like, maybe Charlie Blackmon, just because Blackmon, leading off every day, no matter what.
Yep.
But outside of that, I like Tovar, McMahon, you know, whatever. But
the main Nolan guys, Jones, for sure.
Like, yeah, the main guys are still rolling out there. But like
I was going to mention, like, Eliezer Montero. No. I like him versus lefties, but it's Sanchez and Suarez. Right. Still hittable. Maybe Montero starts playing versus righties, which would be great, but I haven't seen enough yet. Toglia usually gets it. So Toglia would be your weekend guy, not looking to play that versus Seattle. Brenton Doyle would be a guy that you could probably put out there. But, yeah, I'm just going to name names because people will as well. But the moral of the story is probably not this week, folks.
Agreed.
Detroit Tigers, you got seven games for the Tigers this week. 4 at home against the Texas Rangers, 1 being Cody Bradford, and then 3 at the Minnesota Twins. Ober Paddock.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. I got it right here.
That's not right.
No,
Minnesota Joe has a brother.
Wow, that's legit. It's Joe Ryan, Ober, and then either Varland or Paddock. That's up in the air still, looks like.
Either way, Varland has looked pretty bad. Ready heavy week for Detroit, so just looking at probably already taken, but Parker Meadows or Kerry Carpenter, I'm sure those guys
have been so bad so far. So bad.
No, but he is leading off like every day.
And Victor Scott hits 9. They have almost the same stat line. So
31% K rate, hitting 080.
Yeah, so worse than Victor Scott. Like, I've almost dropped Parker Meadows in 12 team leagues.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, it's brutal.
One barrel. Not good. Not good. You're right. Yeah. Don't pick up Parker Meadows. Because the schedule can only go so far. Like,
yes.
You also have to be semi
productive. Yeah, it's a rough go there for Mr. Meadows. Houston Astros, they've been crushing it at the plate. They have 6 games this week. They get 3 at home against Atlanta and then 3 at the Nationals. Obviously, Winans will not pitch game 2. He's still on the books technically for game 2, but we'll have to wait and see who gets that one. Regardless, not too concerned with who gets called up in that.
Right.
Should be a fun week potentially for one of the best offenses in baseball.
Same with Adon at the end. I don't know if that happens.
Because he got sent back down.
But again, with this tool, like, we're trying to project next Sunday starter, like 10 days from now. It's whoever gets called up in Adon's place is going to be like Adon. So
yeah.
you don't want to be an Adon. If you take away from this episode, Houston does have the softest opposing strikeout minus walk rate of any team coming up this week. It's just a shame because most Astros are already rostered.
Like, maybe Jake Myers. They got 4 righties.
I would consider Myers with the 4 righties. He does play every day and he's reasonably productive.
Yeah, that'd be like the only guy that would stand out in that scenario. Kansas City Royals just won 7 straight at home this team's turning into a little, it's fun. They did this a few years back when they went young and it finally paid off. They're starting to do it again right now. I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series, but you can kind of see the fun building in Kansas City. And they get six games this week. They get three at the White Sox, three at home versus Baltimore, five right-handed hitters. So who are you looking at this week? Is it, off the top of my head, most of the important guys are taken outside of like Kyle Isbell.
Yeah, Isbell's really the only one, like Adam Frazier, but I can't sit here recommend Adam Frazier. Yeah. Kyle Isbell, even though Isbell is hitting ninth, even against righties, I believe stole a bag this week. I have him.
Yes, he has.
Starting in a couple 15 teamers. So I will probably keep that train going for Kyle Isbell because that's a really sweet schedule. I mean, especially the front half. Anytime you're facing the Whites, I mean, Soroka, Fetty, Flexen, like, are you kidding me? They do get Corbin Burns, but outside of that, it's pretty sweet for Kansas City.
Yes, as Kevin Hastings says, it's so Hastings beautiful.
Yeah, Bobby yes. Witt. Bobby Witt's good for about
he doubled
three homers. And, yes, he did. And it hurts me to my core as drafting Spencer Strider instead of Bobby Witt.
The Italian breakfast is waking up. It's fun over there right now.
MJ Melendez starting to hit.
Yes, God, that's great. Because I was looking at one of my rosters, like most people don't care. I think I have three Royals starting on one team right now. And that, if you would have said that in March, you'd be like, what are you doing? But it's looking pretty darn good right now.
Our collective, I know Mikel Garcia in our shares episode was very high up on our lists. Yep. He has been. I know he's only hitting 208, but like the strikeouts look good. Three homers, three steals. He's been pretty good and did some damage on Thursday as well.
Done some major damage on Thursday. Do you notice who the closer now is in Kansas City by chance?
The General.
Yes, my most rostered player in the NFC this year.
That's right. General. James MacArthur.
He looks
fantastic.
Yes.
Where's he at? 18% swinging strike rate and a 28% ball rate. We'll get into what some of those mean, but I just pulled up the CBS list, and MacArthur is on there with elite skills, missing bats, throwing strikes, getting Ks, and not walking anyone. So he looks
beautiful.
Good.
Beautiful. All right, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Seven games this week. They get the Tampa Bay Rays in Tampa for four. Then they go to Cincinnati for three. So they're on the road all week, finishing with three in Great American Small Park. Lodolo, Ashcraft, and Montas on that one. Man, it's just tough with the Angels.
It is.
The mascot's playing.
Where's though. The mascot, man? The mascot's playing. They only get two lefties this week, but mascot's been in pretty much, I don't say week. Every day, but
all week
over the
week.
Last five against all righties. Yep. So let's keep that going. Like, in all seriousness, I wouldn't seek out to pick up Rengifo if he's been cut.
He's but rostered like, still in 83% of OCs. Like, people aren't dropping him. There's still the conversation I think we've had, many people are probably having in their head. Like, you just can't do it if you can hold him.
Like, the Aaron Hicks experiment starting to – Aaron Hicks has DH'd twice the last six games and hasn't played in the field.
Nolan Chenal's struggling a ton. It's bad.
He's struggling. So the path for Rengifo, as expected, is starting to roll there. And a great schedule for the Angels, I think. Yes. Especially that back half. I don't know what Lodolo will look like coming back. Ashcraft's been decent. We'll talk about him a little bit later, but anytime you get those three in small park, it's great. And seven overall.
Yep, completely agree. Los Angeles Dodgers, they get six this week, all at home in LA. They have the Nationals for three, the Mets for three, and my oh my. That is a great-looking set of pitchers to face.
Yep. Problem is you can't really take advantage of it.
Nope. So. Not on the waiver wire. You can't. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. Miami Marlins, the worst offense in baseball. They have seven games this week. They get the Giants at home for three and then go to Wrigley for four, facing the future NL Cy Young Award winner in Monica on Thursday. So, man, the Marlins, five righties for the week, but – again, similar to some other teams, there's not a whole lot to attack here.
Yeah, like you could maybe look. Jesus Sanchez probably rostered. Like if you're in deep leagues, Nick Gordon maybe, who I've had love for in previous seasons. Biggest takeaway from that is, yes, this Miami offense, a 60 WRC plus, which is, you know, again, 100's the league average. 60 is awful. No other team is below 80. That's how bad Miami has been. And so, like, earlier you talked about puck moving to the bullpen, like, even pitching leverage spots. Yes,
that's true. That's a great point. Tanner Scott finally got his first save the other night.
He did, yeah, finally.
Speaking of Sanchez and Gordon, the two you mentioned, both are 0% rostered, no C's. So,
and like,
you wouldn't be shocked if he's got streaky guy, but yeah, the Marlins aren't the people I'm looking to search out for this type of situation.
I wouldn't think Sanchez would be that low, but I guess
I was surprised too. I expected maybe 15%.
Yeah. Something like that. He's hitting 160 with no home runs. So
he's just with the rest of the team struggling. Yeah. Milwaukee Brewers, they're not struggling, and they have a very nice schedule this week. They have 6 games. They get the Padres at home for 3 and then go to St. Louis for 3. All right-handed pitching. This is a fun week if you already have these guys rostered, because I don't think there's a ton of left-handed bats to target with Milwaukee.
No. Bryce Turang has graduated.
Yes.
He's rostered. Oliver Dunn is a name that I'll throw out there. He is on the CBS grid at, what's he at? He's 15% rostered in CBS league. So I think Oliver Dunn in some formats, I think he's leading off against righties.
Usually, yes.
So that's an interesting pickup if you didn't already grab him last week. Bubba, I think you grabbed him.
I grabbed him in a few leagues. Yeah. I grabbed him a few last week. He's 36% rostered, no C's right now. I expect that. But he struggled this week, so I'm curious to see how many, because the matchups dictate he'll play 6 games next week. So I'm with you 100%. He's the kind of guy to target. Curious to see how many people will based on his poor week. But great set of matchups. Like Musgrove's been bad. Cease has been good. King's been okay. Gibson is Gibson. Mikolas is Mikolas. Sonny Gray's been good. So you get at least 3 really good matchups and a couple you wouldn't be surprised if a goofiness took place. So. Yeah. A good spot there for Milwaukee. Minnesota Twins, they get 6 games on tap. They have 3 at the Baltimore Orioles and 3 at home against the Detroit Tigers. 5 righties to target. Too bad Matt Wallner stinks.
Yeah, that's a problem. You do like to see Minnesota with that split, because the lefty-righty split, because they are so platoon happy. Edward Julian is going to play a ton and probably hit a ton. I wish I could say the same for Max Kepler, who was IL'd shortly after Locke this week. What other lefties on the Twins? Kirilloff.
I love Kirilloff. Picked him up everywhere last week. Get in on that train.
You don't want any Twins righties this week. Like, and I'll admit, I was wrong on Kyle Farmer. I thought with the Royce Lewis injury, Farmer would play more than he has, but it's been very sporadic. Austin Martin, we both kind of warned against. Really, I guess he's played the last 3 games, but I don't know how much he plays against a righty heavy week.
Yep, it's pretty much, if you can get Kirilloff still, if you want to roll the dice on Wallner, go for it. But he's even sitting versus righties. It's been a rough go for him.
Yeah.
New York Mets, they get 6 games. They get 3 at home versus Pittsburgh, 3 on the road against the Dodgers, and it's split 3-3. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's get Jared Jones and Tyler Glasnow is 2-6.
Not great.
Tough one for the Pirates. For the Mets.
New York Yankees, they get 6 this week. 3 at Toronto, 3 at home against Tampa Bay, 5 righties. This could be a spot to potentially target a couple guys if they are available. I will mention a Brewer that I forgot right now. Who? Jake Bowers.
Oh, God. What is this, 2018 again?
He's playing pretty much either DH or first base versus every righty. I just thought of that. We went to the Yankees because Bauer used to be a Yankee. So since you're going to make fun of me, I'll bring it up. He is only hitting .154. That's fine. He's hitting 2 out of his last 3 games, couple doubles. Deeper leagues, I'd rather do that than Matt Wallner.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
So back to the Yankees. What are you thinking here?
There's not much here because it is righty heavy. The Yankees don't really have a lot of good lefty bats that are available. And the schedule is the schedule's tough. Kikuchi's been good. Bassett's good. Gossman, you know, we'll see.
Maybe, hopefully.
Yeah, for your sake. Mm-hmm. And mine. We transferred Gossman ownership from me to you before the
season. He's my boy now. Yes.
He's my boy now. But the evidence of all that, that's a tough stretch for Yankee bats.
Yep, very, very much so. Oakland Athletics is a great spot for pitchers to target. But when we talk hitting, they got six games, three at home against St. Louis, three at the Cleveland Guardians. And it's three lefties and three righties, and it's the Oakland Athletics.
Agreed. I think the analysis can stop there. Like I said before, Seth Brown, Lawrence Butler in righty-heavy weeks, but this doesn't look like one of those for the A's.
Yeah. Philadelphia Phillies, they get six games this week, three at home against Colorado, three at home against the White Sox, four righties, and some of the best pitching matchups to target on the face of the planet.
Yeah, this one's pretty green. This one's pretty green, so... So yeah, go Phils. Anytime you get, I mean, Colorado, Chicago, like, come on.
Brandon Marsh
in there twice. I don't know why. I don't know who that last one is. But it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Bum. Brandon Marsh is heating up, folks. He's playing pretty much every day.
Yep.
He's only 40% rostered. I'd be jumping all over that one if you want to stream someone this week, and he'll probably have more viability than you think throughout the season. So
agreed.
Agreed. He's a guy I would look to get. Whit Merrifield's on a lot of waiver wires.
I was looking at the roster. Like, Whit Merrifield has played twice in the last six games. And you would think he probably not only plays against lefties, but that's probably where he's getting most of his starts. And so, like, Whit Merrifield should be on waiver wires right now. It's just not playing enough.
It's just one of those names that I always see. I'm like, wow. This is where it makes sense, but it's like, wow, that's where we are now. Yep. Times have gotten tough in this scenario. But yeah, Brandon Marsh is pretty much the main dude this week when it comes to the fighting Phils. Pittsburgh Pirates, they've been swinging it pretty well. They got six games this week, three at the New York Mets, three at home against the Boston Red Sox, five right-handed pitchers to face this week. Is this a rowdy week?
It's a rowdy week. Yes. It's a rowdy week. Let's go. It's always a rowdy week, but Rowdy Tellez week this week. Rowdy's playing every day against and hitting sixth against right-handed pitching. So I like that. Captain Jack, he's probably mostly rostered. But yeah, if you need a corner or you have a struggling corner or whatever, I think Rowdy Tellez is, you know, not just because of the righty matchup, but it's pretty juicy overall. I mean, the Boston rotation has been pretty good and you know, Crawford, Whitlock, Bayo have been solid, but I like Rowdy this week. Pittsburgh, 110 WRC plus as a team.
Pretty good.
Imagine that.
And I will mention again, like we mentioned last week, Michael A. Taylor still available everywhere, still playing pretty much every single day. Like
yeah, but he was hurt. He was hurt the beginning half of the week or something.
Yeah, then he's back. He was hit like fifth, I think, fifth or sixth on Thursday.
Getting a little nervous because he didn't play. I didn't play Monday. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but it came out he was hurt. So
it was weird, though. Like, he's hitting ninth forever, comes back from injury, and he's hitting fifth or sixth now. It's like, okay, interesting move. I will say this much, though, just something to keep an eye on, probably not to roster with Taylor back. Edward Olivares played while he was out and was dropping bombs. Like, yeah. He looked real good. So something to continue to monitor there in Pittsburgh.
Five barrels and 30 plate appearances for Edward Olivares. Three bombs on those five barrels. That's pretty solid. Imagine if the guy played every day.
Imagine. What a world. San Diego Padres, they have a fun one this week. Six games on tap. Three at Milwaukee. Three at home against Toronto. The Milwaukee first – it's a weird one because Miley's just annoying. Like, doesn't get blown up, doesn't cruise. Peralta's Peralta. And then you mentioned Bassett and Berrios. I don't know. San Diego's got a tough one on tap. Five righties, though.
Yeah, five righties. So I look at the lefties like Jackson Merrill, Tyler Wade. I'm not sure Merrill's ownership percentage. But speaking of San Diego, just real quick, that Manny Machado bit this week was interesting.
You like that news?
No. No, I hated it. Because I don't think we knew that. And maybe we should have known, but we're not doctors. But Manny Machado, what I'm alluding to is basically doctors said he won't be 100% until 2025. So that's good to know in April.
But what they're referring to, though, to take a step back on this.
More is fielding.
Like he can swing fine, so he might DH more than people thought. But then that same day after that report came out, Machado was taking ground balls and making his first throws from third to first since the injury. And the Padres said they're still expecting him to start playing third base at the end of April. So he just won't be like an everyday third baseman. In my head, I'm just like, can you play 20 so you're third base eligible next year?
Oh, yeah, I keep
like, don't go Bryce Harper and be util only for a year. That's what I was more concerned about when I read that. Not that he was not going to play the whole season.
He has struggled. Machado has been.
It's okay. He'll play the Giants pretty soon. They'll wake him up. That's what he does. Speaking of the Giants, they have 7 games this week. They get 3 at Miami and then a 4-game divisional series at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks. And, 4 left.
That's a nice schedule, man.
If you like Austin Slater, especially early in the week, you're looking pretty right now.
Yeah, Slater.
Well, maybe not. Edward Cabrera should have one of those starts.
That's true. We don't know whether we don't know what the puck is going to happen there, but
well played.
Slater, Wilmer. What about your boy Wilmer Flores?
Wilmer, who I've been dropping because he literally is in a hardcore platoon with Lamont Wade right now, which is frustrating because Yastrzemski can't hit the broadside of a barn. But Wilmer, we get some love. Austin Slater, we get some love. Mainly in the first half of the week because the back half, it's Gallen, Kelly, Henry on the weekend. So you get one lefty on the weekend. And then you have Gallen and Merrill Kelly who pitched pretty good.
Yep.
All right. Just keep that in mind. First half streamers for the Giants. Seattle Mariners, they have 6 games. They get 3 at home against the Cincinnati Reds and then 3 in wonderful Colorado. So 4 righties on tap. I don't know. The Seattle offense has just been dreadful, though.
I know. It's been really bad, and the numbers bear that out. At 80 WRC+, which is tied for worst in baseball, non-Miami division. If there's a week that Seattle's going to wake up, it's got to be this one. Hunter Green's been he's been good lately, but you never know what you're going to get there. And then at Colorado, it's just beautiful. So Mariners are available on your on your wires. So I know we talked about like Mitch Garber last week. Like I said, if there's going to be a time where this turns around, I think it's got to start happening this week.
Like a fun one, because in Colorado, it's 2 righties, 1 lefty. Dominic Canzone would be a fun one to take a target at. There'll be other guys like Luke Rayleigh's probably out there and Josh Rojas, but the main guy I would look at is Dominic Canzone
for me. I like that.
St. Louis Cardinals, another team that's struggling tremendously on the offensive side of things. They get 6 games, and this might help at least. 3 to start the week in Oakland, 3 at home against the Milwaukee Brewers, and they avoid Peralta. If there's ever a get-right week, these 6 pitchers they're about to face could be that.
I was going to say, on the schedule tool here, it's pretty bright green. Outside of Houston, St. Louis has the softest schedule of any team. And you look at the starters, and you quickly realize why. So, I don't know. Well, there's some the problem with St. Louis is like there's just some unknowns around the lineup right now. Like we talked about with Newbar coming back and what Wilson's going to do and that sort of thing. But it's a great week for Cardinals bats.
Tampa Bay Rays, they get a 7-game series on tap this week. 4 at home against the Angels, and then 3 in the Bronx versus the Yankees. Detmers has been really good. The Angels start to the week could be pretty sweet.
And but it's pretty split. So
Will platoon heavy, like you said. So
they will platoon a little less so than like most years, but with Brandon Lau out, I think they're going to start getting back into that platoon mode. So I just hope Jose Caballero keeps playing every day.
Keep doing it, big man. Awesome. He should. A few more teams here. Texas Rangers, one of the better offenses in baseball. They get 7 games this week. They get the Detroit Tigers in Detroit for 4. Then at Atlanta for 3, 6 right-handed bats in that mix. I don't know what's really available, though, so what are you looking at here?
Check for Jared Walsh and Josh H. Smith. Don't want to leave out the H.
Don't want to. That'd be rude.
Those guys are playing every day against righties, and I know Nathaniel Lowe is working his way back, which would ding Jared Walsh's playing time.
Yeah, I think it's another week or so.
Yeah, I don't think we need to worry about that yet. Jared Walsh had started hot. I didn't check how he did this week, but it does seem like Josh H. Smith is the third baseman against right-handed pitching, which I wish wasn't the case. I wish it was Ezekiel Duran, but Duran is not playing against right-handed pitching, so you kind of need to go with what the Rangers are telling you. So I think this week with those 6 righties against Texas, I think Smith and Walsh are good streams.
That's a good point, Don. I was prepping my Fab article for my Substack. I did put Walsh and Smith both down because they're basically unrostered in the NFBC. So two good options. Lineup.
Like, it's just, you know, get on base, you score. If you get a hit, there's usually guys on.
And you got good matchups, too. So we'll see how that plays out. Toronto Blue Jays, they get six games this week, three at home against New York, three at the Padres, five right-handed bats on tap. The offense has not been great for Toronto, but maybe there's a window here. What are we looking at?
Yeah, maybe like some Kevin Biggio.
And we did this last week, too. He's actually hitting it well, though. He's actually hitting well. Like,
he's hitting .294 with the K-rate. The K-rate's up to 30%, one barrel. Like, the skills are just kind of mediocre. But Kevin Biggio is going to play. We do have Joe Arrico in the chat. This was from earlier, speaking of the Blue Jays, resident Blue Jay fan, saying Kevin Gausman better be okay.
He's got a special jersey.
So he does. That's right. Yep. That's right. So, but no, for Toronto, like the schedule's marginal, but maybe some Kevin Biggio if you're desperate.
Nationals wrap things up here. Six games, three at the Dodgers, three at home against Houston, all right-handed pitching. Glasnow, Bobby Miller, Yamamoto to start the week. Rennell Blanco, Christian Javier, and I doubt spaghetti throws, but we'll see. It's like six righties is awesome, but not those six righties, probably.
I know. I don't know what to think about Bobby Miller and Yamamoto right now.
That's fair. Yamamoto's last two starts have been really good. I wrote him up for
daily. Yeah, you're right. That's a good
call. I wrote him up for daily matchups for Friday, and I was really actually impressed with his last two starts.
It's a good call. I like it. Eddie Eagle?
Eddie Eagle and Luis Garcia. And Luis Garcia are the two dudes.
But and 12s? I don't know. 15.
Look at Luis Garcia, though. He's a dude that I'm interested in general because he's playing every day. If you look at his quality of contact metrics, like, they're actually really, really good. It's small sample. A lot of things can change, obviously. Yeah. But it's like his barrel rate and hard hit rates, like, it's way up for what, six barrels, no home runs. Like, his hard hit rate's 56%. He's probably overachieving because he has a 56% ground ball rate. But when you're hitting the ball that hard, we talked about it last Tuesday, like, good things should eventually happen if you can continue to do it.
That makes Luis Garcia's barrel rate even more impressive if he's hitting the ball on the ground that often. And he has sacrificed a little bit. I know we're splitting hairs here with a 32 plate appearance sample, but Luis Garcia, again, we're just trying to find something that we can kind of jump on these first few weeks. The K rate's still below 20%. So he was giving back a little bit in strikeouts. He's a good contact hitter no matter what. But if you can hold a sub 20 K rate with the amount of power that Luis Garcia is showing, I like that.
I like that. I think he's got viability past this week. Hopefully. He's interesting. All right. That wraps up the schedule portion of the show. Let's talk CBS, my friend. Most added players over the last week?
Most added players over the last week. Got a separate little grid for that. On the hitter side, we've got their percentages, and we'll just kind of talk through some of the guys that are interesting to us. Filtered it out, so this is anyone CBS below 50% rostered, which I think it's a good kind of sampling of different guys for different types of leagues, because there are a few risers that are like below 20% that I think could be 15 team viable even. And then I've got the K rate, barrel rate, and stolen base attempt rate. That's what that SBA is, trying to get a gauge for each average power and speed skill that each player has shown throughout this season.
All right, then I will kick us off here. Kirilloff, Caballero, Blackman are up top. We talked about all three of them last week. Pretty sure we're still in on all three, yes?
Agreed. We just talked about Oliver Dunn, who does get the righty-heavy week, but like you said, kind of slowed down a little bit this past week. But, the skills don't look that great. 30% strikeout rate and 5% barrel rate for Oliver Dunn.
But he runs.
So
the Brewers run a lot, so that's a plus.
And he's gonna should lead off in a big week against righties. So should get a good number of plate appearances, and plate appearances are king. So I still like Oliver Dunn in leagues where he's available.
And there's Brandon Marsh, mentioned him earlier as a stream and probably a long term asset. He's being added in 13% of leagues here. Strikeout rate's rough, but he hit his fourth home run on Thursday. He's doing his thing, man. I've always been a Marsh fan.
Heston Kjerstad's a riser, up from 17% to 30%. We touched on Kjerstad. I think we had a listener question on him last week. I think you're just kind of waiting for the call up, but
still waiting for an injury, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a pretty crowded outfield in Baltimore. But has been hitting the hell out of the ball in the minors. So Kjerstad, I don't know. He's interesting, but I'm not picking him up yet.
Yeah, I've never been a Beatty guy. People are pretty optimistic on him. So if you are, the floor is yours, but otherwise I'm moving on.
It's interesting to see the K rate drop a little bit. And Beatty does have some prospect pedigree, as they say. So I don't think that this is kind of like the anti-Beatty profile that we've seen so far this year, with just kind of marginal power and good strikeouts. I think that's just like early season flukiness. So I'm with you.
Jose Siri, talked about him recently, still out there in a lot of leagues, strikes out a ton, but man, he's running like crazy and he'll hit you 20 plus homers. So there's something there for sure.
Yep. Drickson Profar, what do you think about him?
I put him on my list to write up tomorrow night for my deal. He hit a couple home runs this week. I think one was a grand slam, maybe. He's driven in 10 runs this year to go with like two or three home runs. We've seen him do this in the past. He goes streaking like this. Padres offense is clicking. He's 100% a 15-team league guy with 12-team viability for streaming.
Yeah, I'm a little less optimistic that the BABIP's 382, which is just massive. And Drickson Profar has hit, I believe, one barrel all year, 53 plate appearances. So I don't know. He is, I mean, to your point about getting, you know, those 10 RBI and that sort of thing, like he is playing every day, hitting fifth in Padres lineup. And that does matter in deeper leagues. But in 15s, I'd be okay with it. In 12s, I don't know if I'd go Profar. I don't see the skill there.
Yep. You got Reese McGuire, Michael Bush, we talked about, who I do like when there's righties on the bump. There's Jared Walsh, who you hit on and I think is a great pickup this week. Blaze Alexander. And then can you read the next guy's name real quick?
We got
Ivan Herrera.
Oh, I thought you were skipping ahead to Colton Cowser.
No, not Mooser. edit that out, please. Ivan Herrera.
You do the production of this gig. So Ivan
Herrera, folks, make it happen, please. Make it at 15% K rate, 15%. And yeah, he crushes baseballs.
It's pretty sweet. But I mean, realistically, if Wilson Contreras,
I think Herrera plays at least 4 days a week between DH and catcher.
You think they DH him enough to?
This is what happened last year when Contreras started getting banged up. Kisner played like 105 games, I think, last year or something.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a good
point.
This
is where Herrera, this is one reason why I liked him so much even going into the season, was they want Wilson's at bat in the lineup, so a lot of DH at bats are coming up.
What about one catcher leagues? Does Herrera to that? I don't think so either.
No, he does not. There's too many full-time catchers and one catchers. He's strictly a two catcher. I'd say 12-team and deeper, 100% worthy in a 15. But
agreed.
If 12s, you might have other options that are playing more often. I'll let you slide on that one, but don't be surprised if he starts whipping your second catcher's butt in the stats column.
Yeah.
Cowser, we talked about. I think that's definitely a pickup for the week. Michael Taylor, Bleday's your boy.
Yeah, I had a little. He's been streaky. Tough week for, I guess, my boy. He's my boy. I didn't know that. What's the Oakland schedule again?
Doesn't matter.
That one. Does it matter? No, it's not that great either. 15-team streamer, JJ Bleday, I guess. That lineup's just so bad. And the park and everything about the A's. So.
Yep, everything about them. You got Arcia, Nelson Velasquez. I'm surprised Velasquez is that low rostered. Your boy Josh Smith, streamer Josh for the H. week. Josh H. Smith, I apologize.
Yep.
And then there's David Hamilton. And I just wanted to bring him up because the dude is a power speed guy in the minors. We saw 17 homers and 57 steals at AAA last year, 12 homers and 70 steals at AA the year before. He's already got a homer and a steal this year. If Romy continues to stay hurt, it's Hamilton's job, but that's a whole big if is the problem.
Yeah, no, you covered it well. Founding father, David Hamilton.
Is he on the $20 bill? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. There is a Hamilton. I don't know.
Did Aaron Burr shoot this man? Sorry. All right, you got me going on history. I love history. Any other hitters? You got Fry, Doyle, Olivera, Sheets. Sheets, I know we like a lot this week. Yeah, it's a Gavin Sheets week.
I think it's a Gavin Sheets week. Olivera is interesting, but I still don't. there's some type of unwritten rule in Major League Baseball that Edward Olivares cannot play every day.
Yep.
So yeah, I think we leave it off at Gavin Sheets. I think that's a strong stream this week.
All right, pitching side of things, Javier Assad continues to get the job done. The strikeout rate's actually increased this year, which shocks me because he's a massive pitch to contact guy last year. I still don't trust him. Like, you look at that swinging strike rate of 8%, but he did this last year, and I used him a lot last year. I don't know why I'm not trusting him this year, but here we are.
Javier Assad does get
coming with it tonight. Yeah,
does get Miami.
That helps. That does help. That's usually the ones that blow up in our face, but that helps.
I guess, but yeah, I mean, it's just been 11 innings, but a 19% K to walk is pretty good for Assad. Just not getting any whiffs. I just don't buy. Yeah. I don't know. Low strikeout guys just scare the hell out of me.
Well, this next guy's got a 10% K to walk. So tell me why you like Tyler Anderson.
Because it's what we call at Baseball HQ, the sub indicators. So while the strikeouts and the walks haven't been there, the underlying whiffs have been there. 16% swing strike rate for Tyler Anderson. That is awesome. League average on that for starting pitchers is down near like 11%. And Tyler Anderson's throwing strikes. 28% ball rate. League average on that is 36%. So while the K to walk is admittedly below average, the sub indicators, the per pitch stuff, which I, especially this early in the season, I really tend to hone in on, look really good for Tyler Anderson. I don't know what to do with him long term. Like, this is a guy who was really good 2 years ago with the Dodgers and then just forgot how to pitch last year and maybe is relearning. I don't know how that really works, but I think you ride him while he's hot. And again, the sub indicators look really good. What is the matchup?
I got it right here. Angels
at Cincinnati. So that's fantastic.
Great American. Oh, thank you.
So
Baltimore
the following week. I don't know. But I mean, you're going to have to roll with him in certain leagues just because so many pitcher injuries. And I like him more than Assad. I like Tyler Anderson more than talk about Paul Blackburn next. Like, I'm not going there. So
yeah, he continues to get the job done. We'll see how he does this weekend. He pitches on Friday, actually. So that'll be interesting to see how Blackburn does. But yeah, I picked up Tyler Anderson for his two-step. Then I plan on dropping him because he's not facing Cincinnati in my lineup. Yeah. But I get what you're saying. I just wish there were strikeouts. It's pretty depressing on that front. Blackburn, I don't even think we even talked about him last week. He's been very popular. James McArthur, the new closer of Kansas City. You were talking about how filthy he is. He's getting added everywhere finally.
Yep. Graham Ashcraft is next. And
I can't do it.
I can. This is the new Ashcraft, man.
All right. He's new one pitch. Letter away. He's one letter away from proving you something else.
this is the new Ashcraft we got. He hasn't ditched his cutter, but Ashcraft threw his cutter 53%. He was a two-pitch guy last year, and now Ashcraft is throwing the sinker as his third pitch over a quarter of the time. It gets a ton of ground balls, which you want in Great American Small Park. But the biggest thing, he throws a sinker for strikes. That's his strike pitch. The slider and cutter both get a ton of whiffs, or at least have gotten a ton of whiffs so far this year in 11 innings. Ashcraft kind of got screwed his last start. Got thrown out there for an extra inning, I think in the sixth, and gave up a few runs.
Yeah, he did.
You just hate that.
He got Ashcrafted that game.
He did. You don't want that to happen to you. But no, I think with the pitch mix change, with what we're seeing in the skills, a 14% swinging strike, 32% ball rate, like, that's really good from Graham Ashcraft. I still don't trust him to throw at home, but like in certain spots, I think it's really good. And I think, again, the way starting pitcher landscape is this year, you need to jump on these guys when you see that pitch mix with a surge in skills, really, is what we're seeing. So
you throw him at home against the Angels next week?
Against the Angels? Yeah, I'd do it. I'd throw him at home against the Angels.
What about the following week at Texas?
That's a little tough. It's a little tough.
So I just want to throw it out there.
I don't like these rapid fire questions.
I just want to see how much you like the guy. I just put you on the spot here. Martin Perez is a two-start pitcher we'll talk about for next week, but it's the typical Martin Perez experience. Like, he gets the job done, but it's not flashy. And it's one of those where he'll have an occasional blow up, but he just, it's like the Wade Miley experience for me. At the end of the season, they're like a low 4 ERA, like a 1-2 whip, and they got you 160 innings.
Yeah, you just know the 7-run outing is coming for Martin Perez. You don't want to be on that ship.
Spaghetti, Spencer Arrighetti. I said he was serving up Arrighetti and meatballs in Kansas City in his start. It was rough. I don't know if he'll be pitching there next week, so keep that in mind. David Robertson's getting added a lot. Alec Marsh, Shelby Miller, proud to see that one.
Yep.
Rolled as Chapman because Bednar can't figure it out. I'll let you take the roles here. Who else would you like to talk about pitching-wise? Because some of these boys are deep, deep league formats.
No, I mean, for anyone who missed our conversation on the Tuesday show, you did just rattle off a good number of, I think, decently skilled or save spec relievers, which I think is a good zag when everyone is trying to pick up Spencer Arrighetti, you know, as a starter in place of your injured starter. So just kind of reiterating that point for anyone who missed it, I do think this is the year to at least have an extra reliever starting for you every week, because the back end SP pool, it's always been bad. I think it's even worse this year with the injuries that we've seen to the frontline guys.
Yeah, when you do your waterfalls this week, make sure you have your Shelby Millers, your Chapmans, your Robertsons, your Chris Martins, even your Slaytons, who's the seventh inning guy, eighth, like in Boston, who's filthy. Like there's some of these guys that at least get you ratios and strikeouts and help you in those regards.
Hey, look at this. Joe G in the chat. Ashcraft at White Sox this Sunday. Let's go.
Yeah, no, that's a great one. Can you pick him up for that, or is that an available thing?
I don't know.
Just kidding. All right.
I don't know Joe's league, but in my league, I can't.
Yes, in two-step time, let's talk two steps. Again, we'll only talk about the ones that are probably relevant and like are available to be picked up, I should say, and there aren't many of them this week. Or we can also do the yay or nay like we did before. Merrill Kelly versus the Cubs at the Giants, yes.
Yep, he's going.
Braves, Ronaldo Lopez at Houston versus Texas. I'm still doing it, but those are tough matches.
Oh, that's tough. That's very tough, but I still think you roll it out there. Yes. Win potential and Lopez's pitch.
And strikeouts. Yeah. Yep. Cole Irvin versus Minnesota at Kansas City. I will pass.
I think as well, and that's the benefit of doing this podcast with you and kind of rechecking and recalibrating at Kansas City, in my mind, feels like a great matchup. It's not. Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. Bobby Witt Jr., double dong Sunday. Look forward to it. Cutter Crawford and Garrett Whitlock both get Cleveland and Pittsburgh. You started on both.
It's beautiful.
That's a great way to go. Right now, I think Chicago's got a lot of things coming up, so don't trust me on this one because Tyon might come back and screw things up midweek. But for now, they got Kyle Hendricks at Arizona versus Miami. I will pass.
Agreed.
If it's Ben Brown, would you pitch Ben Brown?
I'd throw Ben Brown out there. I'd be very hesitant, but I think I'd do it.
All right. Cincinnati's supposed to be going 6-man rotations. They have no two-step next week. Cleveland. Bybee at Boston versus Oakland. I'm firing it up.
You're firing it up. And I think we have a listener question on Bybee again, but it's too young to cut. Too early to cut bait there. I'd go for it.
If Oakland puts up 15 on him, we can talk again. But yeah. That's where I'm at. Cal Quantrill at Philadelphia at home versus Seattle.
No. Go run far away.
I'm just going to stop mentioning certain teams.
Seattle's not even good, but like,
no, but I still auto. Do it.
Yep. It's auto.
Eric Fetty versus KC at Philadelphia. I'm passing.
Probably not.
Yep. I'd rather relief pitcher that one. Yep. This one's interesting. Reese Olson versus Texas at Minnesota.
I know we kind of not talked up Olson, but had some good things to say about Olson. He got hit around pretty good his last start. So I'm probably passing on Olson going with Mize, but both of those against Texas is tough.
I probably still go with Olson. I'm not a Mize guy, but Minnesota's not good right now. But
good point.
I'm cool if you want to pass on both. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I don't think Spaghetti's going to be pitching, so we'll skip through that one. Seth Lugo, not Spencer Lugo, at the White Sox versus Baltimore, I will be starting him.
Yeah, I'm rolling with that.
I'm a
Angel.
I'm like, I'm just gonna pass.
The Angel, pop.
Yeah, Patrick Sandoval.
Great American Small Park.
Yeah,
and
I'm out.
After going to the Rays, no thanks.
Nope. Don't forget your Walker Buehler. I have not seen that.
I Yeah, he is on the RotoWire grid. I don't know.
I cover news about 6 days a week. I have not seen that at all. So
I don't think we're far from Walker Buehler. And if we are talking fab pickups and stashes, I think now is the time to pick up Walker Buehler. If he's out there, I think you can get him cheap if he's a free agent because the news isn't out there yet. But
100% no sees. 100% no sees. That's wild. Yep. That's wild.
I did not think it'd be that high.
Neither did I. That's pretty crazy. We'll see how that one plays out. That's probably it's either Buehler or Yarbrough that day against Washington. Miami, AJ Puck and Edward Cabrera, Giants at Cubs. I will be doing Edward for sure. No Puck.
No Puck. Agreed.
Brewers, Joe Ross. This one's interesting now. Versus San Diego at St. Louis. Before we get, maybe poo-poo-y on the subject, maybe you like him. I'm not going to speak for you. Ross has actually been decent to start the season. 10 innings, 2 earned, 10 Ks. 6 walks is not great. But he went into Great American Small Park and got the job done. I'm interested in this one. This is one of the few guys on the wire that I'm interested in streaming for 2 this week.
I'm not buying it. Tons of ground balls so far from Joe Ross, but I think the biggest number you just mentioned there, Bubba, was 10. That's the number of innings.
Yeah, 2-5, yeah. The San Diego start scares me. St. Louis start, I'm all aboard on right now.
Yeah, yep.
So if you can do daily leagues or something, keep Ross in mind for the weekend. Minnesota, Varland at Balti versus Detroit, I'll be passing.
I think I will too, just because Varland has really shown pretty much absolutely nothing. He can't throw strikes. He's not getting whiffs. The swinging strike is below 10% for Louis Varland. A 2 whip, a 9 ERA. He is one of the few. I know there's this saying out there, like if you can't start someone on a 2-start week, you shouldn't have him. I think I'd still try and hold on to Varland if he can, but I want to see him do something first.
Does Varland have his UCL intact? You can hold on to him. Yes. We're going to go that route right now.
Exactly.
Adrian Hauser versus Pittsburgh at the Dodgers. Pass.
Moving along.
Rodon at Toronto versus Tampa Bay. Start.
Yep.
Stripling versus St. Louis at Cleveland. Pass.
Cleveland
will take him to Pound Town.
Yeah, you're. Plus, I mean, I know you don't like Ross Stripling, but I agree.
Nola versus Colorado versus the White Sox. Get right week.
It better be. You're starting Nola no matter what anyway. You never know. I mean, Nola, get right Nola. Week, he could get bombed and he could dominate, and you just never know. Like I said, the Jordan Spieth of
you just start him every start so you get that final stat line that looks okay in the end.
Yep. Agreed.
Pittsburgh, Martin Perez at the Mets versus Boston. I'm starting him.
At the Mets is nice, especially against Adrian Hauser. I know I just said that 7 earned run outing is coming, probably against Boston later on in the week. But I from what we've seen from Perez so far, I'd throw that.
Yep. San Diego got Musgrove at Milwaukee versus Toronto. Pass.
Pass.
Milwaukee's one of the best offenses in baseball. Musgrove's been garbage. Toronto's the least mediocre.
Yeah. Some takes. I'd throw Musgrove.
Okay, there we go. What would you like to bet on the week? No, okay. George Kirby versus Cincinnati at Colorado. How are we feeling on George Kirby?
you're throwing him. What are we doing? But that is
if he feels
Colorado bad. Doesn't scare. What's more scary? Cincinnati on the road or Colorado at Coors?
Yeah, Cincinnati at home scares the crap out of me compared to the at Colorado one, yes. Giants, you got Kyle Harrison and Jordan Hicks at Miami versus Arizona. You're starting both.
Yep.
St. Louis, Sonny Gray at Oakland versus Milwaukee. Starting them.
Beautiful.
Tampa Bay, Savali and Lytle, Angels, and then at the Yankees.
I think you're starting Lytle. You're definitely starting Savali.
Yep.
I think you're starting both.
I'm starting both. Texas, again, this is kind of to be determined, but if it's Lorenzen, see, then other sites have Bradford. So if it's Bradford at Detroit at Atlanta.
Oh, my God. Decisions. And a 15, you're doing it. A 12, that's where I draw the line. The at Detroit is nice. The at Atlanta just scares the crap out of me. But the way Bradford's throwing, I mean, he's good. Been good. So yeah, I'd do it in most leagues.
What about John Gray?
I have John Gray in like every league. He looked very good today, Thursday against Oakland, but I'm throwing John Gray out there. The Detroit start is really good.
It's hard to pass up.
Exactly. Especially at Detroit. That's a pitcher's paradise. Yep. And you just hope like hell. Maybe the Atlanta, for Gray, it's Sunday. So maybe, no, they don't rest any of their guys.
No, they don't.
Yeah, he's screwed. But I still go with him. He's screwed.
You know, getaway days, you might get some. Toronto, Bassett, Yankees at Padres. Yes.
Yep.
And then the last one, Patrick Corbin at the Dodgers versus Houston. No. Holy crap.
No, don't do it. If you're doing that, if you're starting Corbin at LA,
you better be in a 22 team NL only league.
I mean, I just wouldn't. I'd start
Spencer Nobody. Spaghetti.
I'd start Air.
Yeah.
So
Kevin Hastings says roster resource has Bueller going Wednesday as well. I'm going to have to do some searching.
I mean, he has been throwing in AAA, and I believe his last start went, I don't know the exact pitch, but it was like 60, 80, something like that.
Yeah, I thought he had at least one more in him, but I could be wrong. Well, I'll have to go look into that some more here and figure it out. All right, let's talk listener questions before we head on out of here. We got a handful for you. Mr. Draft Cheat commented on Ryan's picture of pitchers that were available, not exactly the group of saviors, he says. And then you had a Hunter Brown comment to that, so that was good. Wake Up says 16 whiffs from Ashcraft last time out. So supporting your thoughts.
Let's go. Here we go. I always like Wake Up.
CJ Baseball. Cowser. He and Ad in a 15 team. Everyone's waiting on Heston, so not sure if Heston gets called up while Cowser is running like this. Yes, play the guy that's playing in the bigs.
Mm-hmm. And again, righty heavy week for Baltimore, so that bolsters our case even more. Yep.
CJ has another question. What do I do with Bibee? I'm not confident we see the numbers improve vastly. Sorry, Ryan. Actually, that's me that likes Bibee. who would you look to trade for if you are trying to sell? That's the tough part because you're selling low.
That's the and I don't know. Just like league wise, what you're, I would not try and sell Tanner Bibee. You're selling low, and the whiffs are there. Velocity's okay. Like, I think he's gonna be fine.
He had like his last start was rough. Start before that looked phenomenal. And he had this at times last year. He'd have like two or three good starts, then a blow up. That's just what he'd do. Because when he's not locating, because his fastball is so hittable, that's why Nick Pollock has told me, that's what I've even said in my write-up about him, his fastball sucks. And I
should say the velocity is down a tick on the fastball, but I don't know.
He needs to change the pitch mix. It's that simple to me, but what do I know, right? But he's still heavy fat. Like his last start when he got shelled, almost 54% fastballs, the most he's thrown all season. That ain't it, dog.
And so, he can't throw it for strikes. A 41% ball rate on his fastball, that's the pitch that you throw for strikes. That should be down around 30, and it's just not there. So
I'm holding, and
the good thing is the two secondaries that you wrote up this offseason, Bubba, have actually gotten better. The slider and changeup, and they legitimate. I've watched Bibee's last two starts. Secondaries are there. I think it's just a tough stretch. I think he'll be fine, but fastball is bad.
Like if you want to bench him for a starter, that's fine. I wouldn't try to move on, to put it that way. Joe G, who's also in the chat right now, says continue to hold on Rafaela and Meadows and Reese Olson, 12 team mixed roto. Meadows, like I said earlier, if the right replacement's there, I'm cool moving
Agreed. On. Rafaela, I'd keep Meadows. In a 12, I think I'd look elsewhere. There's got to be some better options out there.
And Olson's probably streamable in a 12. So
Reese Olson,
Reese Olson's streamable in a 12. I'd hold on Rafaela. Meadows, there's like I'd probably play Brandon Marsh over Parco Meadows right now.
Yeah.
So something to think about. Like especially if I don't know if it's three or five outfielders, but if I guess five outfielders in a 12, your fifth outfielder can just be a stream every week. Eddie Rosario, Canzone, Marsh, like all these dudes are gonna be out there on the wire. So yeah, have fun. You mentioned Beatty's available. He also says in the chat Beatty was picked up. Not much starters, pitchers, Schmidt and Ashcraft. Well, Brian likes Ashcraft, so go pick up Ashcraft and drop Olson. There you go. God,
I can't wait to victory lap Ashcraft.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about it next week. Trust me.
Gavin Sheets, another outfield stream.
Yes, 100% on that one. And then Burks, our buddy Oregon Duck, says, any plans to do periodic updates on the listener leagues? When will the overall standings be available? We're working on that. That's in the works that should be available. Sooner than later, but
I gave an update on the listener league last week saying I'm in last. in one of the two. I will work on getting the overall standings set up once I'm out of last.
Once the Masters is over, we'll work on things like that.
I do need to hit them up to get that set up.
Yeah, no, we'll get it taken care of. It won't take very long to do, so that will come. But what also will come is Sunday Night Fab, so I hope you guys enjoy the show. Any final thoughts, Mr. Bloomfield? Week 4, man, 4 out of 27.
Final thoughts, Jeff Mitziff in the chat. Who you got for the Masters? I will preface this non-Scotty Scheffler division.
Yes.
Who are you going with, Bubba?
Non-Scotty. I took Rahm in my one and done, so that's more a strategy thing. We talked before the show. I've always been a big-time Homa fan. He struggled this year. Great, a really good 13 holes to start round one. I'll root for Homa this week. Give me some Max Homa. I'll take two, Homa or Fitzpatrick. Give me one of those two.
All right. I know he didn't play well today, or at least for his first few, but I think a LIV golfer is going to win it. I think it's either going to be Brooks and or DeChambeau looked really good today, or my kind of long shot is Joaquin Neiman.
Yeah,
I think a LIV golfer wins the Masters.
I think
that non-Scotty division.
I'd be very excited if he did, just because it just stirs up drama. Like, it makes it fun, more talking points. Bryson would just tilt everybody's face off, which I think is so much fun. And yeah. Like Patty Reed played well. Sergio played okay. Like, there are a lot of guys. And then last year, a bunch of them finished near the top.
I mean, so Augusta is, as we turn this into a golf podcast, and you know this better than me, course history is so huge there. Bunch of LIV guys have green jackets. Yep. Dustin Johnson.
I think there was 8 or 9 LIV guys here. Yep. So it tells you a lot. It tells you a lot on what you need to know in that one. So I'm with you. I think they could. Scotty shot 6 under. Bryson shot 7. Going to be windy again on Friday. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to a big weekend. It's going to be awesome. So
Do you think Tiger finishes all 4 days?
No.
Because he withdraws or doesn't make the cut?
Withdraws. Yeah. I don't want to see
wrong, it. But my gut says you're right. We'll see how Saturday. Right. He's got a long Saturday. Yeah.
I'm not rooting for it. Friday. Let me clarify that to people that are listening. I'm not rooting for that by any means. Sure.
Yeah.
But just the reality of where he's at in his career and what's going to take place on Friday, I'm nervous. Nervous for what goes on after that. So
a lot of steps on Friday.
Yes, we'll see. But all right, we'll wrap it up there. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Good luck in Fab, and we'll see you guys next week. But until next time, you can check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick, and this is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 125. Catch you all next time.